quite a few folks in. It looks like we're about ready for that question. We are in Pastor Appreciation Month, and so as we've been doing so far, we've been indicating, like, all right, who's a pastor that we would like to show our appreciation for? Name that. Well, first, tell us who you are, where you're from, what pastor you would like to show appreciation for, who they are. And then one word, just one word. So we try to keep it to about 30 seconds or less for each person. One word that would describe that pastor. And so I'll kind of give you an example here. I'm going to choose Christian Leaders Institute's very own Pastor Steve Elzinga. Pastor Steve was very instrumental early on in my studies. The one word I would use for him is relatable. He just made getting into ministry really relatable, just very easy the way he would talk to us. And so I appreciate Pastor Steve today. And so how about you guys? Is there a pastor that you want to share appreciation for? And what's the one word you would use to describe that pastor? Anybody want to lead us off?
Pastor Rainga,
All right.
because 5 years ago, when the Lord has called me to be a minister my entire life, and Mom led me to Lord when I was six, but I could never go into seminary. And when we moved up here to Upper Michigan, the Lord called me again into the ministry, and it's because of the free minister training and because of the leadership of Pastor Rainga that he and Christian Leaders Institute I've been able to become an ordained minister and go into the ministry, and it's because of his inspiration that I've been able to do in the ministry what I have done. And I have been in the last 5 years going into nursing homes and doing free ministry in nursing homes.
Praise God.
So
Well, very good. What's one word you'd use to describe Pastor Ryanga?
inspirational.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, you can't listen to Pastor Ryanga and be like, oh wow, I wish you'd get a little more excited or he's very, very inspirational. So very good. Thank you for sharing that, Pastor Gary. Who else would like to share a name of a pastor? Maybe one word to describe that pastor. Who else is up?
I can be up.
Cindy,
Who
all
is
right. Where are you
the?
from, Cindy?
Oh yes, I'm from South Africa. My name is Cindy, and I wish to share about my pastor, Bishop Musa Sono. He manages the ministry in South Africa. We have over 76 branches in the country,
Oh.
and I would describe him as a teacher.
All right, teacher's a great word
So,
for a professor, yeah.
he really teaches the word,
Wow.
and not
Oh, we're losing you, Cindy, but that's okay. You got in. He's a teacher. We're going to go to Tanya next.
that, but
Tanya had her
gives a
hand up.
very precise occasions of the word. He's exceptional. I think most.
All right, Tanya, you are up. Tanya, where are you from and what pastor would you like to talk about?
I'm actually from Boston, Massachusetts, but I live in Fall River now.
All
And
right.
I have been with you guys since 2015.
Woo, so
And
you've been with us a while.
I've gotten my deaconship, women's leaders, counseling, and all that. And since that time, it's Henry Ryanga who I want to lift up, but I also want to lift up one more person, and I forget his name. The other one who's really friendly with him. He teaches a lot of classes.
Steve Alzinga.
Steve Elzinga.
Yeah.
Both of them were inspirational to me. Then I've helped many people come to Christ since then. I've helped my brother, my sister, my few of my friends. All of this is my ministry now. And
Wow.
that's through your teaching. And I continue to learn in the classes.
Right. Well, that's awesome. 10 years with us. That's awesome. We're so glad you're with us this morning. You
And
are
the one word,
great. Yeah.
I'm sorry, the one word, inspirational.
There you go. So we've heard two times today, Pastor Ryanga, inspirational. We're throwing Pastor Elzinga in there as well. I also mentioned Pastor Elzinga, and I said he's relatable, but I'm going to go right there with inspirational as well. Who else do we got? Drew Wilson. Drew, it looks like you're in Wisconsin. Drew, is that the case?
Yeah, I pastor in central Wisconsin, small Baptist church. I want to just recognize my pastor and mentor. His name is Daryl Marco, and he's been instrumental in helping me come to the realization and the calling that God has placed on my life to be a pastor. And I would one word would just be discipler. He focuses on discipling and helping, even if it's not somebody coming into the ministry. He just really focuses on really just following that calling to make disciples and help them to follow Christ to the best of their ability.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. I love that you said not only pastor, but mentor. Mentors are so huge. Somebody that's going to walk alongside of us, encourage us, kind of continue to push us forward. I was blessed. My mentor was Dr. Fettes, and I remember asking him, "Would you be my mentor?" And he come alongside me. I attended his church, and what a blessing that was. All right, who else do we have that would like to say good morning? Tell us where you're from, name the pastor, and tell us one word that would describe that pastor. It looks like Anna G. Are you there, Anna?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Where are you from, Anna?
I'm from North Carolina.
All right, well, welcome from North Carolina.
Thank you. Yeah, we recently just moved here 6 months ago, and we're coming from Florida, and I just wanted to show a little past appreciation for my old pastor, Apostle Raley, down in a Calvary Church in Ormond Beach. One word that would describe him is prophetic. I believe in the house, he really preached for people to really unlock their potentials. And after we left here, all my life, I believe I always had a call for ministry. And, here now I'm in North Carolina, and God is really, the Holy Spirit is doing something really great in my life. So I'm just grateful for the pastors and everything that they spoke over the house.
All right. Well, hey, Anna, thank you for sharing with us this morning. And we hope the Lord blesses this new season in North Carolina for you. And
Thank
so
you.
thank you for sharing. All right. Well, we got Leonard. And then right after Leonard, we got, is it Nita? So we'll go to Leonard first. Leonard, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Where are you from, Leonard?
I'm from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
All right. All right. So you're really close to Christian Leaders Spring Lake, Michigan office. Maybe not real close, but I mean
Yeah.
close enough. You could get there today if you needed to.
Yeah.
All right. So who's the pastor you'd like to say a word about?
I have to be one of my local church pastors here. His name is Jerron Jones. He's inspired me to become a minister.
Awesome.
He started out how I started. He was homeless, just like me and my family were,
Okay.
and then started their church in a garage.
Wow. All right.
And they've grown bigger ever since.
Wow. All right. Well, hey, what's one word you would use to describe?
I'd have to say inspirational. He's
Yeah.
inspired me to become type of minister I am today.
Awesome. Awesome. It's so good to hear that the Lord's using these pastors and leaders to reach your lives, who are then going to turn around and reach so many other lives. And then they're going to reach other lives. And one day in heaven, we're going to be able to see just how many lives were impacted. And so that's awesome. Appreciate you sharing that, Leonard, with us. We're going to go to Nita now. And Nita, where are you from?
I'm in Gardena, California,
All right.
and Pastor Reese Bowling.
All right.
He's not my pastor because he's in Colorado, but I see him on Christian retreats I've been privileged to go to.
All right.
And the man, well, I was going to say inspirational, but that's like overused this morning. He is so alive. He brings the whole church alive. He's a very welcoming man, and it's awesome to be in his church, even if I only get to be there once a year. Yes, this year maybe, hopefully.
That's awesome.
It's by
Well,
invitation, so you never know, but I'm hoping.
all right, good. Very good. Well, hey, I want to take a minute. If you're new here, I want to explain what's ahead of you. And then after I'm done talking for a good minute here, we're going to close out our pastor appreciation with Linnell. We're going to give Linnell a chance. But if today is your first day here at Christian Leaders Church, what you can kind of expect today is when we get to the 10:30 Eastern time, we're going to ask that you mute your devices throughout the service. There's no interruptions. Keep checking that throughout it just to make sure you're muted. We're going to start out. I'm going to lead us in prayer this morning. Then we're going to go to Pastor Rudy, who is going to lead us in a Soul Center interview. And then we'll go over to Spring Lake, Michigan for some announcements. Then Pastor John's going to lead us in a mini message and we'll take communion together. And then right after that, we're going to go back to Spring Lake, Michigan. We keep coming back and forth to Spring Lake. And our vice president, soon to be president of Christian Leaders Institute, Abby, is going to lead us in a leadership message today. So trust in the Lord is going to do some amazing things. And I'm looking forward to the morning. And so we are going to jump over to Linnell Sparrow. Good morning. Where are you from?
I am from Fayetteville. I'm in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and the pastor I would like to recognize is Pastor Tommy D. King. I would describe him in one word is he's spirit led, and that I was appreciative for.
Awesome. All right. Well, I appreciate you sharing, and I appreciate everybody else. Listen, if you didn't get a chance, next week we have one more week left of Pastor Appreciation Month, and so you can get on here early at 10:15. You can get your hand up and ready to allow an opportunity for you to just share that pastor's name and your appreciation for them. Hey, just another couple reminders for you in our chat as we go through the morning. In the chat, you can leave prayer requests. We have pastors, we have staff members who would be so wanting to pray for you, not only today, but throughout the week. And so feel free to put prayer requests. You can put praise reports in the chat as well. We ask that you don't use that chat for like personal gain. We're not here to advertise our ministries and try to pull people into it. Let's keep it as a church service and one where we're focusing on the Lord and the building each other up and encouraging each other. With that being said, it is 10:30 Eastern Time. Welcome to Christian Leaders Church. I'm Pastor Jim. I realize I don't ever say that. You might be wondering who is this guy every week? And so my name is Jim. And so I love meeting with you each week. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer to begin and start our service? Lord, we are so thankful that you've given us another day. Lord, it might not be a day that we use for our own pleasures or our own purposes, but Lord, that we would seek you in it and what you would want done in this day, that we would be receptive to it, Lord. We would receive that, Lord, we would be obedient to it, and that the Holy Spirit would give us what we need to carry that out. And Lord, may we have great joy in this day. I bring my brothers and sisters to you here, Lord, who have prayer requests, that have praise reports. Lord, you know all of the needs, our daily needs, and you ask us to come to you with those. And so, Lord, I lay those to you right now and trust, Lord, that you will handle these things, Lord. You'll give them what they need. You'll help them to see what you're doing in all situations, whether they're seasons of blessings or seasons of trials. Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings since the last time we've met. There's been so many wonderful things taking place in the lives not only our lives, but the lives of those around us. And so, Lord, we want to give you praise this morning. We want to give you praise for what you're about to do here in this service. And Lord, we thank you in advance. So, Lord, meet us here, lead us, and bring some encouragement, Lord, as your word is open today. And again, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, at this time, Pastor Rudy, I know you're out there. I saw you logging in here. And so, Pastor Rudy, we're going to turn it over to you for the Soul Center interview. It's kind of a little bit early today, but we're going to do it this way today. Are you there, Pastor Rudy?
Awesome. Yes. Morning, Pastor Jim.
Well, good morning. All right. Good to see you.
Awesome being here again, and good morning to everyone. Let me get my screen up and sharing. There you go. Hello, everyone. It's great to connect again with you all here today. And today we are actually joined with the Soul Center leader, Pastor Banner Kidd. Pastor Banner, welcome to Christian Leaders Church.
Thank you, Pastor Rudy. It's a pleasure to be with you. Just a real blessing to be able to connect and to share what God's doing.
Amen. Amen. Tell us where you're from and what is the name of your soul temple?
Okay, well, I live in Auburn, Indiana. We're in the northeastern corner of the state of Indiana. The ministry is headquartered, centered in Kendallville, Indiana, which is about 15 minutes from us. But covers a several county area, and actually in some ways, out of state with the people that I'm in connection with.
Awesome, awesome. Now, I know you walked a long road to where you are now. Can you briefly tell us how it all started and how it all led to where you are now?
You bet. Well, I was born in East Kentucky, Appalachia. Lived there the first 10 years of my life, but we moved around quite a bit from the time I was about 7 years old until 10 years old until we lived in Indiana. I have a history of sexual molestation from the time that I can remember, dysfunctional family, sometimes being separated from parents, and then growing up with all that baggage. And it was a mess. But then I came to the Lord in 1987. I was 32 years old. And that changed my life. It was a process, though, and I'm sure you understand, but I had a changed heart, but it had to transfer into a transformed mind, into the mind. There's a process of all of that. Along the way, I became involved in a legalistic cult of the Hebrew Roots movement that really started to lead me away from the simplicity of the gospel and my first love, Jesus Christ. But in 2020, after losing our oldest daughter to 5 years of a cancer battle, God spoke very clearly to me and said, "It's time. It's time for you to leave and get on with what I've called you to do." So since then, I've been involved in recovery ministry, been involved in working to plant a church and Bible studies and meeting and pastoring people, just in a really not. Not a bona fide according to the world way, but being involved, just being involved in lives. And I've been doing that all along. And that's brought me to this place where first love is coming into fruition.
Wow, that's quite a walk in that, where, and I know there's a lot more to it, but where God has brought you from to where you are now, and just the name itself, you're back at your first love, and yeah,
Amen.
that's wonderful. Now, like you mentioned, your soul center is not restricted to Indiana, Kendallville only. Just tell us a little bit, how far does your soul center reach in reaching out to souls?
Well, reaching out to people, I don't look at First Love as being a contained local body in and of itself, but to be a part of the body to be used in outreach to people wherever they might be. So I have people that I am in contact with as far as way as far away as in Florida, Tennessee, people up into Michigan, and Arkansas, some people in Texas. And it just moves around quite a bit. Being involved in the recovery ministry, I meet a lot of men and women that come into our area from other areas and become connected with them. And then that leads to other people, and then they go away, and contact continues. It's just like God brings people into my path. And so I don't know the full extent of where this goes. I just know God will take it very long.
God, that is wonderful. Briefly tell us what ministry offering do you offer at First Love? Just a little bit more in depth.
Sure.
And exactly what
we operate on the concept of Ephesians chapter 4. There's one body, one God, one baptism, one faith, and the unity of the Spirit who gives gifts to be able to build up the body of Christ. So we operate on that in a unity model and a discipleship model from Matthew chapter 28. To make disciples, not of me or of other men, but make disciples of Christ, because we've received the anointing. And that anointing, I believe, is the Spirit of God within us, just like Jesus had to be able to hear from the Father and be able to accomplish his purpose. And along the way, we are in the process right now of looking to open up a center in Kendallville that would be a seven-day-a-week access point where people can come in and somebody can take the time and listen to them, find out who they are, where they're at, to be able to just love them, and through that love, be able to maybe help them with some of their needs, and along the way, to lead them to a relationship with Christ and to disciple them. We want to help with marital problems. We want to be able to help in areas where, you know, I have people that I know, some men who get full custody of their children, but they've never been a father, and they don't even know how to be a father. Sometimes the kids don't even know how to be a child in subjection to a father. So all those kinds of things, simple things like how to make a pot of coffee and how to change your oil and really how to live this life, but taking it all in how to live this life under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So we're hoping to be able to do all of that. I truly believe God's going to provide for that. Right now we're hoping for we need about $25,000 to take care of our first year's rent and utilities. It's a perfect building. It's right downtown Kendallville, a huge parking spot right out the back door. I'm very familiar with it. I was in it before through Inspiration Ministries, and just blessed to be back and be a part of that and be able to bring in other churches to be a part of this. I'm already talking to some other pastors who have decided to come along and to work with me. So that we can together begin to be the body of Christ, to reach people and love people and tear down these doctrinal walls of things that just don't matter.
Amen, amen. Now, I'm sure some of our viewers here, some of the CLI students and clergy as well, they'll connect with you on this as well, because this is, to me, sounds very much like that the model of the early church.
Yeah,
and I love it.
I mean, when I read Acts, I don't see anything like what we call church today.
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
Yeah.
In a few words, what makes your work in ministry so fulfilling?
Wow. You know, again, I've been through an awful lot, and I have experienced church in so many different realms, different kinds of doctrinal approaches to things. And what I've found to be, I won't say 100% true, but boy, it's a high number, a high percentage of churches that don't tend to just rely on the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And I believe that there is a revival happening. I've heard for years about this great end times revival. And it usually ends up being a tent set up out in a field somewhere to bring a bunch of people in. But I truly believe the revival, the end times revival, is the revival of God's body, the body of Jesus Christ, to come together as many members of the body functioning together and providing the nourishment of the Spirit one to another, using the gifts that we've been given to build up that entire body and to be, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to be ambassadors, to be a vessel of Jesus Christ, as though he were pleading through us to be reconciled to the living God and really function as the body of Christ together, And I believe that's where the power is at. And I believe that the church, the professing church, is becoming anemic because it doesn't have that in operation.
Absolutely. That's a beautiful way of explaining it. Well, thank you, Pastor Benner. It was really great getting to know you a little bit better. And just for our viewers, I'll be sharing Pastor Benner's thoughts in the link for you in the chats to connect to him, and who knows where the Lord will take it. Again, thank you, Pastor, and may the Lord bless you and all that you do.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. May the Lord bless you too, and everything that CLI and CLA and the soul centers all around the world, all that God is doing, He will not be thwarted in what He wants to accomplish.
Amen.
Okay, so there you have it. It's quite a lengthy interview that I had. We got carried away. And I was still interested in looking at the guitars there at the back, but we'll leave that for another time.
There you go. You can always do a part two. I love it. So Amen. Thank you for constantly bringing these interviews to us. We appreciate you. Have a great day in the Lord. We're going to go to Spring Lake, Michigan. Abby, good morning to you. How are you today?
Good morning, Jim. I'm doing well. And yeah, I really enjoyed the Soul Center interview. Fun way to start our service today. And as we kind of continue in our service, I'm now bringing some announcements. So I'm going to go ahead and quick share my screen here. And here we go. So we have a couple of new things, a couple of things I've shared before. And after I'm done sharing, I'm going to actually include all the links, because I think sometimes as I'm going through it, you know, it's hard to take what I'm sharing as a link on the screen and, you know, have access to it. So I will include those links, and you guys can then copy and paste those links maybe somewhere where after the service you can check some of these things out. So I will go ahead and do that after I'm done with what is new on our news. So I did talk about this last week, but a new book has been released by my dad, President Henry Ranga, and it's called Organic Humans. Maybe some of you have already started to read it after it was released last week. But as I said, I will attach this link, and my dad's traveling this week, so I'll be doing the message. He's been having a great trip as far as I've heard. So prayers for continued safe travels as he comes back later this week. But this is exciting book, and excited for those that may, again, already be starting to read it, and I'll include that link. All right, we also have a student satisfaction survey. This is a super huge deal for us for accreditation. And as we have a team coming next fall to us, a lot of that data will be from this student satisfaction survey. So please, please, please take this for us. And I will attach that in the links. And I'll also be sending out an email about this as well. Again, we want to know how we're doing, and this is how we continue to improve what we're offering at Christian Leaders Institute and continue to meet the needs of our students better, as well as obviously it's super helpful if there's areas we're really doing well that we're able to also highlight that and see. So I will share that link as well. My dad this week had something in Las Vegas with students, I believe, but upcoming is going to be in Kansas City. So here's the details for this event. Wanted to share that for those of you who might be in maybe driving distance, flying distance, traveling distance. This is when it's going to be and where, as well as that address. So if this is something you really want to RSVP for, you can reach out to us and we'll get you, you know, details further. But this is kind of the general details that you would need to know to attend. So, and if you're close to this area, you should have gotten some emails on this as well. So just wanted to highlight this for anyone who maybe missed those emails, but this is upcoming and we're excited for any time students can get together. And in this case, get together with my dad. He's going to be in Kansas City for another event that is for work. So we're excited about that event as well. I shared about this, but just want to remind everybody, this free grad course this November from one of our partners who is really wonderful in that it offers this deal for our students who might want to try out a grad class, as well as if you are to move forward, it's 20% off of all tuition for all CLI students. So again, wonderful partner, and the QR code is right there. So if any of you have your phone next to you and maybe are watching from your computer and have interest, you can go ahead and scan that QR code. Some more updates. This has relatively been changed in the last month, but we have kind of changed up our WhatsApp groups, as well as we've added a private Signal group for just Christian Leader Church members. So want to encourage you guys to check this out. And we have an official channel on WhatsApp as well. So again, you can go to our course. And as I said, all these links that I'm putting up, I'll link after. I wanted to share this. So we have added our multiplier hubs. And so we've been gathering some feedback from why our multipliers give. And this is what one of our multipliers sent to Florence, and she's including in the upcoming multiplier letter. This multiplier says, "I am a Marine veteran, a former police officer, and now a pastor, has seen the reality of evil up close. The answer is not politics or programs. The answer is Christ and his word. Scripture tells us to equip the saints for the work of ministry in Ephesians chapter 4, and to entrust truth to faithful people who will teach others in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. This is the work I see Christian leaders doing with clarity and conviction." I love that mention of that chapter, because our last two sermon series, that was one of our theme chapter verses that we talked about a lot. "Your training multiplies what one pulpit cannot reach. You help form leaders who are grounded in scripture, bold in witness, and ready to serve in homes, schools, workplaces, churches, and digital spaces. The hour is urgent, and I am investing where gospel impact multiplies and where the Bible remains the standard, not the culture. My authority is the word of God. I preach it plainly so people hear the truth, obey it, and have watched Yahweh," our God, one of names of God, sorry, messing that up, "take broken stories and make them testimonies. Supporting CLI is stewardship. I want more laborers in the harvest, prepared and credible, so the next generation hears truth without compromise." Really love this quote, and I think it really does encapsulate what our heart is right now at Christian Leaders Institute, is this very thing. And so just really love how much this multiplier sees that and is living that themselves. And so this was from a student in South Carolina. So thank you for being a multiplier, and thank you to all of our multipliers. I also want to just ask those of you who maybe, again, want to stay informed. We have these videos we post from the church service, the Soul Center interviews, and there's going to be a few more things that I'm going to be hoping to put on our YouTube soon that will hopefully help more people learn about CLI. And so I want to ask, if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube and are someone who does use YouTube, to go over and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And this is what it looks like, so you know you're in the right place if you get there. And we also have a new Bible plan, Who Does God Use? And this was related with YouVersion, as they're celebrating reaching 1 billion. They had a bunch of plans being released in celebration of that, and this plan was our plan for that. And so check this out. The link to that's there. You can also scan this QR code, and it will bring you to Christian Leaders in the YouVersion Bible app. All right, everybody. Let me try to pull up the I'm already giving it to you guys. My computer does not want to pull up the chat today. I don't know. Maybe some of you saw that. Anybody see the answer there? All right. The question is, what did the pastor say to the pastry? What did they say? Oh, Christina said she saw it. All right. The pastor said, "Do not forget to pray." It was, you know, there you go, Jim.
All right. So, that's how you just turn it over. You're like, there you go, Jim. I'm walking away. All right. Very good. Well, thank you for sharing, Abby. We're excited to hear your leadership message today. We're going to come back in just a few short minutes. We're going to go to Pastor John now. Pastor John's going to open up God's word and bring that to us this morning. And we're excited to hear from you, Pastor John. What do you have for us this morning?
Good to see you, brother. Boy, I just appreciate all of you. I mean, and you know, we need to always be praying for us here at Christian Leaders. I'll tell you what, none of us spend our time like twiddling our thumbs. There's a constant movement and action. And when I just see everything Abby just did, even she's engaged in so much, and she's been engaged in that survey, and then on here doing the news, and then doing the teaching, and then she's going to go right back. things are happening. I mean, there's always so much happening. So we just always appreciate your prayers. And well, let's go ahead. This morning, I'm gonna be kind of, I want to teach on the subject of rest. I'm gonna touch on rest a little bit. And let's just go ahead. And I want to go ahead and open this morning in prayer. My teaching, Father God, we just give you praise right now. I just thank you, Lord, for every single person right here. I thank you, Lord, that in the midst of busy lives, maybe even challenging schedules, maybe even the challenging circumstances that they are even facing, Lord, in jobs and families and all manner of things. I am praying right now, Lord, that you're just going to speak to us, Lord. I just believe you're calling us to come to you to rest. I just believe you are calling us to it, Lord, and I believe, Lord, that is a part of us fulfilling our call. It's what gives us that reset to continue going. And Lord, I just pray for your, Lord, just lead me through this teaching this morning, and I just thank you, Lord. I just want let me just flow any way here, Lord, that I need to, and let this be a blessing to you, to all those gathered here and those that watch at a later time on our YouTube channel, in Jesus' name. Well, right now, I just want to I'm going to run through some things here. I've got some notes, but I don't know how much if I'm going to be covering and following each of these. There was something my wife and I back in 2018, there was a movie that came out, and my wife and I don't go see too many movies, but there was a movie that came out, and it was called Christopher Robin. And that movie was, whew, I just think about it and it chokes me up. That movie was my wife and I, when our kids were growing up, our oldest child, Pooh, Winnie the Pooh was something in her life. She liked, there was a Winnie the Pooh cartoon that was on. And whenever we lived in Iowa, whenever we would go to Cedar Rapids, there was a Disney store there. And we wouldn't go there often. I was pastoring at the time, and we had a small church, and I mean, we weren't living too extravagantly. When you're a church planter, you kind of plan those times that you go out and have a special meal out or do something. But whenever we would go to Cedar Rapids, we would make a trip to the Disney store, and we would go in, and they'd have all these little stuffed animals. And every time we would go, we would get Sarah, one of the Winnie the Pooh character stuffed animals. They were just like this big. And she ended up having them all. I mean, and that took a long time for us to do it because, I mean, like I said, financially, when we did things like that, we would plan those times. And there were things when we went to this movie, Christopher Robin in 2018, Christopher Robin was grown up. And he had basically totally forgotten about the Hundred Acre Wood and when he used to go there when he was younger and see Pooh. Well, anyway, I'm not, if you haven't seen that movie, he literally goes back there. And when we watched that movie, we were crying the whole way through it. Our upbringing with our kids, our raising them up, it was just so important to us. But there was something in that movie. There was a quote, couple of quotes from that movie that stood out to us. And basically, Pooh said at one point with Christopher Robin, when they were talking, and Christopher Robin was back in the Hundred Acre Wood as an adult, he said, "People say nothing is impossible, but I do nothing every day." And then he said, "Doing nothing often leads to the very best of something." And I'm just opening up with that right now. And I want to go into, and I want to look at the subject of rest. Right now, when you rest and you shut down, Those are the principles, literally. If we look at it from the biblical aspect, those are the principles of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a time of rest. It was the last day of the week. And that one was when the Sabbath was set up. And when I do this, I'm not going to get into, I know that we're never going to get debative or controversial. But I know there's different views as to the Sabbath and all types of things. But anything God had in His Word, even in the Old Testament, there were always principles involved that would affect our lives in a positive way. And in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, I'm going to just go ahead and read this. It says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. God had created everything. And last of all, He had created man. And it says, and on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because He rested from all His work which God had created and made. And what this was, this was the seventh day is the last day of the week. The very next thing is the start of your week. And I know that for Jewish people, they would be literally doing this on Saturday. And these days, when you talk about resting and setting aside time and doing things of this nature, but it's something. I mean, these days, some people may work on the weekends and they may have a Tuesday and a Wednesday off, or a Tuesday and a Thursday off, or whatever. So we live in a different culture. So I wouldn't necessarily get caught up in the days because a person might be working all day on Saturday. But one thing that stood out, what is the Sabbath? It's a time of reset and it's a time of rest. It's a time where we shut down. And what I liked about Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, it says, on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. It said that all the work He had done the previous week, He basically ceased from it and stopped, and then He reset. And He was looking for the next week. He was looking forward to what was next. But then that day He was just to rest. Now in the Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew word for rest actually means to cease of work, to cease of activity in order to reset. Ceasing from work in order to reset. Basically, whatever your thought processes were, whatever your challenges were, whatever thing that was going on, it gets shut down. And then another line of that definition, what that ancient word means, is to cease from an activity for the purpose of rest or celebration. And then the third line here that I had in my commentary is a stopping of all activity, often used for the seventh day or special feast day, which the feasts were where celebrations would occur. The Sabbath was intended to be a day where you basically shut down. Now today, a lot of us, we've got cell phones attached to our jobs, we've got computers attached to our jobs. We need one day that we could shut down. When my wife and I first moved to Florida in December of last year, when we came down here, it was like there was a lot of transitions in my life. We moved down here, we were away from our family, we were away from our granddaughter, and then on top of that, I started going to school. And then on top of that, it seems like sometimes I can connect with a gazillion people online every day with CLI. And there's a lot of mental faculties being used. And when we got down here, I was doing my college, and it was a very hard transition for me when I started. Mentally, it was very hard. My wife knows how hard it was. And there came some point when my wife, she literally started buying like pre-cooked bacon and stuff for breakfast, because we normally wouldn't make ourselves a big breakfast. And she said, "You know what?" She said, I'm making breakfast this Saturday." And she said, "After I make breakfast, we're going to the beach." And she said, "You're not going to do anything that day, but eat breakfast. I'm going to feed you breakfast, and we're going to go to the beach." And we just went out there and just walked. And that got incorporated into our lives every week, every single week. And I went out there, and all I was doing was looking at the waves and looking at the water. And me and her were talking. And we were fellowshipping with one another. And our families, this is like so important. This is like so important. And I want to, right now, I'm way behind. You know, in the Ten Commandments, one of our Ten Commandments is Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath and keep it, for it is holy. It is sanctified. It actually says that the Sabbath is sanctified. It is something that should be set apart. That means that in our lives, times of rest, we need some days where we can shut this down and break out of all the effect, all the busyness, everything, so that we can reset. And when we do, we will get refreshed, we will get replenished, we will get rejuvenated, and it will even affect our minds and our bodies. And then Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29, he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you know what? That's referring to this whole same principle. We need to come aside. And then in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus told his disciples, "Come aside by yourselves and rest a while." Now he said that. Now that verse, if you go look at it, go do it on your own. But before Mark chapter 6, verse 31, before that, you know what happened? John the Baptist died. And then you know what happened right after that? 5,000 were fed. But John the Baptist died, and it's believed by most scholars, it's believed that Andrew and John, the apostles Andrew and John, were actually disciples of John the Baptist. There had to be some grief going on there. We already know Jesus had grief. And after this happened with John the Baptist, what happens? What's one of the ways that we can help with grief, or we can help others with grief? We need to rest. We need to shut everything down and quit engaging with all the day-to-day things. And I mean, if it means putting that cell phone away and interacting with your family, and our families need us on these times. I mean, Sabbaths are times that you enjoy your family. You enjoy your friends. You enjoy doing things that bring rest, recreation, relaxation, and it allows healing to reset you for your next week and strengthen you. And then let's go down here. I actually had also looked at a couple of mental studies on this, and I want to read you these. In one study that I looked at, it was studying teachers over, it did studies on teachers over five different nations, and it was looking at the effects on educators and the subject of rest, and specifically the Sabbath, like them taking a day where they just shut down from all their duties. And why did I bring this up? Because if many of you were in ministry, if you're in ministry and you are a minister, teaching is a part. Educating is a part. And when you're engaged in that, it takes something out of you. Helping others is a part, and it takes something out of you. And I just want to read you this. Mental and emotional health, the Sabbath effects. I want to read you this. Teachers who report keeping the Sabbath experience lower levels of burnout, suggesting the Sabbath may be helpful in reducing burnout amongst educators. That same study found that Sabbath keeping may help educators by providing time to recuperate emotionally, socially, physically, spiritually. And then physical and stress-related health. Keeping the Sabbath, that is, setting a day apart for rest and spiritual rejuvenation, has been related to better mental health, less stress in cross-sectional studies. And then among Protestant clergy who observe the Sabbath, both rest and ceasing were positively correlated with autonomy. And if they did not practice Sabbath principles, it negatively correlated with emotional exhaustion. And then one last fact here, it says regular Sabbath keepers were less likely to have scores qualifying for depression and burnout, and were more likely to have scores qualifying for flourishing and mental health. Now, I just want to give you a couple of suggestions here. As we're going forward and we're looking at this, I want to read you that verse as I'm closing here in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, and I'm reading this out of the Message translation. Jesus said, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out with religious activities?" I paraphrase that. "Come to me. Get away with me, and you will recover your life." Does someone you need to recover your life? God has the way. He says, "Come, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it." See, that's what God did on the last day of creation, after he created everything. That was God's way of dealing with all the activity. He says, "Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly." Now, what I want to do as we get ready now, I'm going to take the communion elements. If you didn't have them, I've got mine right here. And I just want to look to him right now. And I want to think of his principles of rest. And as we take communion, let's take this and let's have a new thought and perspective on resting and try to think, "Lord, how can I do this?" So right now, I just want to go ahead and let's take this. This is his body. And I'll tell you what, our bodies need rest. Our bodies need rest. As we do this, let's take this body right now, look into the body that Jesus sacrificed for us, but also looking to our bodies that we need his life in us, and we need to rest to fulfill this call, this plan he gave to us. Lord Jesus, we just receive this bread right now, and we think of your body you provided for us. And Lord, we think of our bodies that need rest to do what you called us to do. We receive this now in your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, right now, we just look to this blood. This blood cleanses. Lord, there was nothing intended to be condemning in this message, but Lord, right now, if there's anybody that's needing any freedom, things have piled up. Lord, I just wash us right now, free us. Let us walk in your freedom as we receive this cup that represents your blood. And we receive it right now, Lord Jesus, in your mighty name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, brother, wherever you are, I don't see you.
There we go. I'm back. Thank you, Pastor John, for a wonderful message on rest. I love this shout out for Winnie the Pooh, a favorite of mine growing up. And so appreciate you taking time to share with us this morning. And we are going to go back to Spring Lake now. And Abby is standing by to lead us in our leadership message. And so, Abby, we turn it back over to you.
Awesome. Thanks, Jim. And thank you, John. And what you talk about today with rest, I think, is really, pertinent to this series that we're in on grief and anyone in that process of healing. Rest is a really important ingredient in that process, to just take time to rest, rest with the Lord, rest with your loved ones. And so many great insights there. Well, let me open us in prayer and then I will dive into this next part of our grief series. Lord, thank you so much that we see the model that you've given us for rest. Thank you so much that you, Lord, we can truly rest our soul in and be gifted eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I know many listening today are processing very difficult things, very difficult situations, very painful losses, grief, sadness, guilt, depression, all sorts of things, Lord. And God, we know that in you there can be new hope. There can be a morning beyond the night and the despair. But Lord, we know it's a process, and it's a process, Lord, that we need to do with you. And as Christian leaders, help us to be empowered to see more ways that we can serve the people in our life who are grieving, or our own grief that we might be dealing with, God. Bless this message I'm about to bring to everyone listening here. Give me the words that you want me to speak, God. And Lord, I just pray this will be a blessing to every person that hears it. We pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to continue. We just talked last week about the valley of tears and just, the value of even that part of the grieving process, and that, those tears, they can be very sacred. They can be very, beautiful in many ways, but it's very hard. And so we dug into that a lot last week. And if you've been missing this series, I do really encourage you guys to go to our YouTube and brush up on the full series. But I'm going to continue now and be talking a little bit more about the new morning, the hope beyond the night, the hope beyond those tears and that valley of tears. So let me open up my slides here. All right, the theme verse here is, because of Yahweh's loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his compassion doesn't fail, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I think this is a pretty famous verse for many of us. And of course, many of us also know the song, Great is thy faithfulness. And so this is a really beautiful verse that many of us as Christians have leaned on in our life. And I think as we talk about grief, this is such a key verse for many people as they're facing that. And so, as we talk about grief, we've talked a little bit about this in the series, but grief can look like a lot of different things for a lot of us. Sometimes it is just deep sorrow. Sometimes it's numbness, even just kind of disconnecting from your relationships, from those around you. There can so many times with grief, there can be guilt tied to it. I have heard that, and even myself, I've had that before where, did I do enough with this person if you lost a loved one? Or, there's been even situations where maybe someone even feels at fault, if you have a car accident or you have something that's occurred that is, again, deeply traumatic and difficult. And then there's also the ache of, those things that maybe were left unsaid. Or again, grief can also be loss of employment, a loss of an opportunity, a loss of a relationship. Again, it doesn't always isn't always death. And so for some of us, it's really layered with a lot of trauma where the memories and your body, they're not able to really even come to an agreement on what's safe. There's family grief. I think many of us, some of your stories and is that as a child, you've had to really experience some really, really hard grief. And I would guess that there might be children in your life that you know that are going through some deep grief. And so, as Christian leaders, we really need to be equipped to minister to people, whether there is a lot of trauma, guilt, numbness, whether it's a child or an adult or someone getting near to their own death. In every shadow, though, God is still whispering, "My mercies are new every morning." And I think, again, the gospel, it's not erasing the night, but it is promising us hope and the dawn. So I wanted to start with this story of Elijah. And again, this is one a lot of us know as well, but every time I read it, I'm always just very much so restruck by it and the reality of it. And so it starts with, Elijah's just had this huge victory over Baal's prophets. Then there is a situation where now Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel is sending a message to Elijah saying, May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, by this time tomorrow, I do not make your life like that of one of them. So Elijah, it becomes very afraid after, and again, this is the reality of what does happen is, Elijah has just shown so much power through God and has just, I witnessed that. But then he gets this message and he's just overcome by fear and he becomes afraid. He runs for his life. And then he comes to this broom tree and basically sits down and prays that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. And so, coming to that message you just preached on rest, John, I think there's a lot of, again, pertinence to this story here. And all at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there was by his head some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lied down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And there's a lot more to the story, but I think that there's so much just, again, truth in this. Again, you can come from one of your highest highs, defeating, these Baal prophets, to you hear someone is now coming for your life, because as Christians, we are going to upset other people when we do these amazing, miraculous works of God. And, he just completely collapses in despair and wants God to take his life. And I just love the response we see from God here. God isn't rebuking him. He's sending an angel to give him food and rest. And then the story goes on here, and God talking to Elijah, saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he goes on and on about being, I'm the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me. And then there's this great wind, there's, lots of an earthquake, but God's not in the earthquake. And there's a fire, but God's not in the fire. And then there's the gentle whisper, and that's where God is. And so I think as we're going through grief, maybe sometimes we want God to even show up in this huge earthquake type of way. But again, he's just in that gentle whisper, in that rest, in that recharge. And so, God meets us many times, and, not always. Some of you might have had an encounter where God does show up in that fire earthquake way. And that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. But many times God is going to meet us as a traumatized servant in our exhaustion. And he's going to demonstrate how healing begins with rest, with nourishment, and with time in his presence. And sometimes this morning mercy is not this huge miracle, but it's just simply having a meal and having a conversation with God. And so I just love this story of Elijah. Again, it's like we know each of us have sort of been Elijah in one way or another in our life, where God, you're doing amazing things in my life, but how quick I am able to just feel defeated, like I've had enough. And God sees us in that place, and again responds with such gentleness and love. I wanted to share some of these statistics too. John was sharing some also really great statistics, but wanted to share some of this again, where a lot of people are that become bereaved or in grief, they can develop persistent symptoms of a prolonged grief disorder. And so these situations of grief can very many times develop into a prolonged impairing grief reaction, if the grief isn't handled in a way that, is healthy for a person. And so also, over 50% of Americans have experienced the death of a close friend or family member within the past 3 to 5 years. So, as I'm saying this, I know many of you are dealing with an experience of a death of a close friend or loved one or a family member. And, as I was even, I'm going to talk slightly a little bit about children on this too. 6 million U.S. children will experience the death of a parent or a sibling by the age of 18. And so, that again is a reality of a lot of people affected by these grief that is, again, many times connected with trauma. And I think that this is a really important statistic. This last one here, only about 28% of employed, again, these are American statistics, so you might have some different statistics in your area, but employed Americans are familiar with grief or bereavement support offered by their workplaces. So it just tells us that, one quarter of workplaces are even going to acknowledge at all the deep griefs that we're going through. And so, as the body of Christ, We really do have such an opportunity, such a responsibility. And I think as the church, I'd love to be able to say 100% of churches that have, are responding to grief and are offering support and are coming alongside families who are going through deep grief. And I think a lot of churches are, and I think that is where, the church has really shined in so many ways in our world, is to be a place of comfort for people and offering this hope and new morning to them. But I think there is always more opportunities for us as Christian leaders to come alongside people and even to come alongside those who are currently not at a church or maybe aren't even believers. I mean, I think, again, as we've discussed in this series, grief is one of the huge ways that people come to know God, in these very difficult grieving moments. Okay, so the role of ministers, the overflow from relationship, ministry is not performed from emptiness, but overflow. And that's, again, a lot about what even John was talking about today. And, our job as a minister is not to put on this act of godliness or how to respond, but to just really be rooted in these relationships with people. And I love this verse: I am the vine, you are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. But all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And so, as we're ministers, again, just want to encourage you to take a step back and make sure that you're not doing ministry right now from your own emptiness or trying to appear a certain way to people, but that you are doing it out of the overflow of a relationship that's deeply rooted in Jesus Christ. When trauma strikes, God's love is still very much so here. My soul still remembers them and is bowed down within me. Yet this I recall, therefore I have hope. As we've been discussing in this series, trauma grief, it's very disorienting. This can be following, again, tragedies of suicide, abuse, sudden loss, leaving many survivors with that entanglement of the guilt, the flashbacks, the silence, and trauma really does fragment our souls, and our bodies do react, with racing heart, sleeplessness. You might have PTSD responses. I mean, there's so many ways that then our body might respond to this trauma that's fragmented our soul. And faith questions what it once trusted. Many have that, healing in Christ, it is. It can be very slow for some people, but it is spirit-led, and God's steadfast love patiently reforms what's shattered in us, restores, and again, as I'll keep talking about here, really brings more mission to our life. So some practical tools for Christian leaders is, if you're for yourself or someone you're serving, recognize some of these symptoms. Is someone having really intense withdrawal? Are they having, nightmares, night terrors? Are they having a lot of agitation, shame? Are they having some of these, symptoms that come along with someone who's maybe experiencing a lot of trauma with the grief? At the same time, though, listen without, trying to diagnose them. Just bring that presence of Christ, give them a space, and use scripture as a reassurance and verses to comfort. Model that calm, predictability. I think, again, many times when someone's going through trauma, they just feel no sense of stability. They feel like the rug has been pulled from out under them. They don't really trust many people. They don't really trust many things. And so I think, again, as a Christian leader, we have the opportunity to really model, that calm promise of what God is. God has given us his word to give us that sustainability and that stability. And then, we've talked about this before in many of our messages. Refer wisely when there is a time that you know that you need to have a professional get involved with any sort of trauma, or maybe counseling needs to be involved. Just really encourage you to have your file of who are the people you're going to refer to, and making some of those decisions. When is the time to know that you need to refer someone? And I think that's a really important thing for all of us as Christian leaders to just really, really think through, so that we're completely equipped in this area, so that we can try to make the best judgment call led by God to know when to refer someone. Building the support team, and this is what I love so much about Christian leaders. I just see so many of you are serving in even these support team roles. So you are the lay minister, you're a lay chaplain, you're the person going into the hospital. You're not necessarily the one preaching on Sunday at the pulpit. And I think that it's really important that whatever your role is, there's more people that could probably join in this support team, come alongside you come alongside them. And then, as always, pray gently, invite God's peace into this situation without, emotionally maybe pressuring someone if they're not ready for something. All right, children and family, let the little children come to me. I feel like I haven't thought about this too much, but children are going to grieve differently, and sometimes there isn't even an understanding of them to fully comprehend, depending on how young they are, about the grief or the loss. And so they may not cry, but there may be, again, other ways that their grief is showing up. And at the same time, you have the parent who's maybe taking care of the child is grieving very intensely, or the sibling or the grandparent, and each are going through their unique grief experience. And so, children are really forming their identity through their relationships and how those people are responding. And so, again, as the church, I think we have a huge responsibility to, equip our families and, be having maybe programs to even help children who might be dealing with grief so that they can have that experience of God's presence that can help them. I love some of these practical tools, like, for kids, they might not be able to really understand, but they love to draw, or they something a ritual of remembrance might actually help them understand that more what's going on. And again, they a lot of times learn through storytelling or through play and art. And so, again, even having some programs that really help create some of these remembrances, some storytelling, helping normalize some of the emotions that they're going through, and helping them realize, that's you're feeling these emotions because of the deep love that you feel, and bringing some, positive view of what they're going through, and that, this is so difficult, but this is what happens when we love someone very, very dearly and we lose them. And including your children in the prayers, including that, letting them pray in the prayer even. And, again, supporting the parents and integrating the church family. So you could pair hurting families with maybe some caring mentors or elders. And again, I know many churches are doing this, but just really encourage you to think about what your church is doing right now on this. And again, how can we continue to comfort my people, says the Lord, Isaiah 41. Morning mercies and soul renewal. So each dawn declares that God's compassion renews without fail. Hope is learned in many times small steps for people, that prayer, that rest, that community, worship. Grief gives ways to gratitude as souls begin to feel, safe again and connected and in a community. So again, just some practical ideas. Maybe you want to begin a Morning Mercies group. Maybe you're going through intense grief yourself, or maybe that's something that you've worked through years ago, and you want to start a weekly gathering that, creates a space for some reflection, prayer, remembrance activities. I love this idea of a wall of hope if you were to, even begin a group like this. I think there's so many times that when you're in the grief, it is hard to think about what prayers that have been answered or what mercies have occurred. And so creating a wall of hope, using scriptural journaling. I know journaling was something we've talked about at this church, and the beauty of journaling and how much that can really help as you can record verses or insights or prayers. And then again, we've talked about this quite a bit as we even talked about the Blue Christmas, my dad and I recently, but holding a service of healing and light and inviting families to light candles for those they've lost. And for mourning the mission, healed people help others heal. And so the Father of Mercy comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may comfort those who are in any affliction. And this is the process of multiplication that happens so much through grief. We experience the mercy of Jesus Christ. We experience his comfort in all of our afflictions. And we then comfort those who are in affliction. And what a, again, a beautiful way of multiplication. And so, as a Christian leader, I just really encourage you to develop a grief commanding ministry, get volunteers walking with those who are grieving, and again, maybe you are wanting to be that volunteer yourself who walks alongside a set amount of people. Encourage the testimonies of the survival, the faith to be shared in worship, and having these small group leaders have, the training to deal with some of even these trauma things I talked about, or young children, or some of these dynamics that, again, I haven't even dug into, that there is so much wealth of knowledge in. And comfort in Christ retreats, that might be another thing that your church or maybe an organization you serve at can do. And using anniversaries of loss as moments of prayer and remembrance in the congregation. So I just want to encourage you, write down what was the big night of your soul, a season of grief or fear. Beneath it, write a mercy you've seen since. And then pray, Lord, help me rise again with your morning light. And again, as we encourage a lot on these activities, share it with a trusted believer if you're led. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joy, Psalm 126. So who can you help with this activity this week? Maybe it's yourself, maybe it's somebody else. Want to just end with this little ask again, as you move forward from this message series today, this week you will blank. What will you do? How will God speak into your life? Again, whether it be your own grief that you're experiencing, or it's the grief of someone else that you see close in your life, or maybe God just gives you some open eyes to see grief that someone hasn't even shared yet. And I just encourage each of you to pray for that wisdom, pray for those eyes to see those that really need a connection. So I'm going to close with this prayer here. Lord, you are faithful in the night. You are merciful in the morning. We lift before you every trauma, every grieving family, every child who cannot sleep or is in this deep grief. Make our church and these Christian leaders here a refuge of compassion and renewal, and turn our mourning into mission and our pain into praise for you. For great is your faithfulness now and forevermore, Lord. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Abby, thank you for a wonderful message. Thank you for preparing it, for delivering it today. And I think, as John said it earlier, we'll echo it here. We appreciate all you do with Christian leaders. So thank you so much. It's been a great day with everybody here. Another fantastic Tuesday seeing you all here. Pastor Gary, thanks for bringing mom today. It was a blessing to meet her. We hope to see her again soon. And for the rest of us, as we go our separate ways today, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, peace that is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Awesome. Have a great week in the Lord. God bless.
Bless everyone.
Bye.